Miss Barb sent me a note today. Brother Ralph had surgery late last night on something and supposed to get out today but didn't, and so I guess he'll come home tomorrow. And so pray for Brother Ralph some healing. Forgot to mention that. All right. The Bible says here in verse 22, seeing, now this is all in relation to everything that we've read prior to this, obviously, seeing you have been purified, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfringed love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. I'm going to read it again just so we'll get it in our minds. Seeing ye have purified your hearts or your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfringed love of the brethren. See, not seeing, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Now there are two actions that are mentioned here in this verse. The first is a past action and the second is a continuous action. And these are important because you can't have the second continuous action until you first of all have the first past action. And if you don't ever get that past settled, then you can't ever continue to do something for the Lord. Now, if you would, for just a minute, think about this. Everybody's life is involved with other people. There's never hardly a day that we are not associated with other people. Some people like us and some people not like us. Some people that have the same ideas, maybe the same views, the same opinions, some obviously that are different. And that is a test, that is a time to put our love for the Lord and our love for others to the test. Everybody in this room is faced with people that, let me put it kindly, that just not of your kind. You know what I'm saying? That they're just different than you. And they're so different that if space and time would allow, we'd probably never have nothing to do with them. But some orchestrated work of God has brought those different people into our lives for a reason. And we need to demonstrate the same love and the same compassion and the same spirit towards them that we would to somebody that was our friend, somebody that we could get along with. Now, listen to this and then we'll get into it. If you do not love others in an action manner, then you do not have a purified heart. Now, that's just the plain and simple about it. You can like it, you can lump it, I can like it, I can lump it. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. So just in case somebody don't think the Bible says that, let's look over here in 1 John chapter 3, in verse number 14. 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 14. And then we'll go back and look at a few others and get out of here in time to beat the midnight oil. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 14. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Now listen to this. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. All right, now if we're passing from death unto life, we're going from unsaved to saved. We all agree to that? Well, five of us do. All right, so that's the only thing this can mean. All right, we know that we have passed from death unto life, from being dead in trespasses and sins to being made alive in Jesus Christ. Because, here's how we know that. We love the brethren. Before I got saved, I didn't have much use for the brethren. And neither did any of you. But boy, when I got saved, I kind of got hitched up with the brethren. Now, he that loveth not his brother, let me use the word brethren, abideth in death. means he ain't never passed. So if you're sitting here tonight and all you do is love your family and you don't love the church, you don't love the people of God, or maybe we ought to even put it like this, maybe you love a certain select group of people. No, the Bible doesn't say a certain select group. Bible says that you love the brethren. Now, notice what the Bible says in verse 15. Whoso hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. And so we see this. Then look at chapter 1 and verse number 7. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. Boy, this is a wonderful chapter as far as I'm concerned. One of the greatest chapters in all of the Bible. Verse 6 says this: if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, that means we're not saved, amen. We're still lost. We walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Now listen to verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now the condition of salvation, listen, is do we believe in Jesus Christ? The test of salvation is right here. Do we love the brethren? And by the way, you can't be cleansed of all your sins in your daily walk with God and have something indifferent towards other people. Jesus said this. He said, now if you forgive, I'll forgive you. But if you don't forgive men their trespasses, I won't forgive you your trespasses. And so conditioned, the forgiveness in that case is conditional. And so we want to go back to 1 Peter and just take out there tonight and kind of talk about some of these things and put our life to the test and know that we're saved and try to do our best to serve the Lord. Now, look at verse 22, the first part, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfringed love of the brethren. Now, the word seeing you have purified is a action that has taken place. Seeing you have purified. This is something that has taken place in your life. Seeing you have been saved. Seeing you have walked in the Lord. I put in my notes, this really has an effective dual meaning. It has the meaning that you have been saved by the grace of God. We call this purification at salvation. And then it means purification of sanctification. And of course, we know today that once you get saved, you get a positional sanctification with God. You're saved forever and ever. But then there's a progressive sanctification that must take place daily in your lives. I really wish I could get on this boat that some of these old timers and maybe even some around today talk about total sanctification. Man, I wish I could really get in with that. And I wish I could attain that here. But the truth of the matter, I can't. And neither can anybody else. Paul said, in me that's in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. And he said, when I would do good, evil is present with me. And so I wish I could get that way, but I just can't. And so the Bible says this is a past action, seeing you have purified your hearts. And we know that happened at salvation when Jesus Christ washed us from our sins in his own blood. And he changed us from darkness unto light, from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of God's dear Son. When he took us out of death and put us into life, what a joy, what a blessing, what a glory to be saved. But now listen to this. There's also a progressive sanctification day by day for everyone that's in this room. Everybody. Every day I ought to be a little more like Jesus. Every day I ought to try to be a little more like Jesus. I ought to desire to be more like Jesus. Romans chapter 13, the last verse says, but put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Romans chapter 6 or 7 or 8, one of them say they're, he that is in the flesh cannot please God. And so purity must begin at salvation, but it must continue in the work of sanctification throughout our daily lives. until we go to heaven. Now, the Bible says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The Bible says in 1 John 3 and verse 3, every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. And we always go back to that illustration of the Old Testament temple. Whenever the temple got defiled, the people had, the priests, the ministers of the temple had to cleanse the temple. They had to take the old stuff out and then apply the blood, and then the temple was cleansed. And you and I have by confession to get the junk out of us. Did you hear what I said? By confession, get the junk out of us. And then the blood is applied, and then we're cleansed. And so what happened? How did you get purified? Well, I did write this down before we go on. I did write this down. He that is purified from any and all that would defile him, such as sensual desires, hypocrisy, selfishness, and etc. It is apparent that the inward cleansing must precede this love of the brethren, which we are exhorted to do by the apostle. So if you look at your verse there, the Bible says, seeing you have been purified, how? By obeying the truth. Now, you'll not get purified any other, you'll not get saved, you'll not get born again any other way than by obeying the truth. Amen. The truth of the gospel. Listen, you could hear the gospel till you every day until you die and still not be saved. You have to become obedient to what God says. In fact, in 2 Thessalonians, them that obeyed not the truth, they're the ones under the judgment of Almighty God. And tonight, ladies and gentlemen, whenever I got saved, I simply obeyed what God told me to obey. I did what He said, believe. I didn't do anything beyond what He said. I didn't do anything less than what He said. I simply did what He said, obeying the truth. Now, the trouble we're having today is we're trying to figure out what truth is. We're having a hard time trying to discover what truth is. Well, if you listen to the Methodist, or you listen to the Presbyterian, or if you listen to the Catholic, or if you listen to the Baptist, or if you listen to, you know, the non-denominational guy, or whoever it would be around here, you'd probably find as many different ideas about the truth as there could possibly be people. So we got to know what the truth is. And the Bible's clear that the Word of God is truth. And we went over that a couple weeks ago, and what we believe is the truth. Amen? But Jesus said this, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. For their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible is the way we get sanctified. It's the truth. And the more we become obedient to the truth, the more sanctified we become. I really wish I could stand here tonight and say that in 37 years of reading the Bible and being a Christian, that I have mastered all the commands and exhortations of the Scripture. Wouldn't that be a blessing? Oh, I'll tell you, it'd be a blessing if you'd stand up and say, me too. Remember how long you've been saved. And we could testify tonight, boy, we have done everything the Lord has told us to do. We've done it all. We've done it all. The trouble is, I've done it sometimes, and sometimes I haven't done it. Sometimes I've obeyed, and sometimes I haven't obeyed. So obedience is a necessity. In fact, what did the great prophet Samuel? To obey is better than to sacrifice. To obey is better than to do. And so, obedience. How does one get a purified heart? Obeying the gospel. How does one get a progressively purified heart? By obeying the truth. Obeying the truth. Just simply doing what God tells you to do. And I know that everybody in this room is about like me. We have things that I think in the Bible are much easier to practice than others. Well, I think for me, you know, tithing is not a problem for me, but it is for some. For me to give is most of the time not a problem, but for some it is. For me to, to pray at times, it's not hard for me to do. For some it is. Things that we talk about, you may have easier time forgiving than maybe I do. Well, I can, boy, preacher, anybody ask me forgive them, I just forgive them and go on. Well, praise the Lord, some of us have a hitch on that. Kind of hinders us every once in a while. And so all I'm saying is there are certain things in the Bible that are a little bit easier for me to obey and then maybe others, and things a little bit easier for you to obey than others. So whenever the, you know, God says, lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset you. So if we went around here and everybody had to be honest and say, okay, what is the weight and the sin that so easily beset you? First of all, we'd be embarrassed by hearing them and awed. And then second of all, we'd think, well, why in the world is so-and-so having such a trouble with that? I don't have a problem with that. Wonderful. But they're sitting back thinking, why do they have such a problem with that? I don't have a problem with that. Amen? Everybody in this room has different hang-ups. And so we got the only way to get over all of these is by being obedient to the truth. Then he says, by the Holy Spirit. He said, obeying the truth through the Spirit. Now, we don't hear enough about the Spirit. But I'm here to tell you today, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. Amen. And the work of the Holy Spirit is so vital to your life, your walk with the God, that you cannot walk with the Lord without walking in the Spirit. Amen. And the Bible says, walk in the Spirit, not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. The Bible says we can't even pray unless we pray in the Spirit. And tonight, ladies and gentlemen, whenever I begin to obey the truth, whenever I began to do what God tells me to do, well, first of all, at salvation, it was the Holy Spirit that convicted me of my need to obey the truth. And then once I obeyed the truth, it was the Holy Spirit that baptized me into Jesus Christ, put me into Christ, and it is the Spirit that helps me to do any and all things that I'm commanded of God to do. But you listen, there you are fooling yourself, and so am I. If we think we're doing anything in the Spirit, if we're not obeying what God tells us to do in this book. Now, here's the thing about it. Is the Holy Spirit at times will prompt you. I think that's a good word to use. Will prompt you to do things. Prompt you to do things in your heart. Now, here's how you know it's the Holy Spirit. Because instantly there's something that tells you not to do it. Lord tells you to get up and do something, you say, well, I'll do that later. Well, the get up and go was God. The sitting there later is some other spirit. Well, you know, I really feel like I ought to do this, but I'll do it later. The ought to do this is from the Lord. The do it later is from some other spirit. Well, that's how that works. I've been going about from time to time in the Holy Spirit, and I love when the Holy Spirit talks to me. It just seems like sometimes I struggle obeying what He wants me to do. And I do it most of the time. But sometimes I don't. I've been trying to witness all these truckers around here. You'd be surprised how many of them come in from around the world. They park here. And I told you the story. I've been trying to reach the uttermost part of the earth. Well, I can't go there. But they're all around here. The other day, and I don't do as good as I should. I carry stuff with me. I should empty my truck every week, and I mean, there are just tons of them come in day and day and day and day and day, and so I just hand them a John, I'll try to hand them a John Romans, ask them, you know, where they're from, and if they're kind of friendly, I'll talk to them about the Lord a little bit, but sometimes they are, sometimes they aren't. Sometimes they're just right down rude about it, and but you know, every time I get gas there at Walmart or wherever I get gas at, if it's, you know, one of them other places that have them trucks there, it's almost like instantly the Holy Spirit says. So I try not to look. You know, I'm in a hurry. Now, don't act like I'm strange, because you do the same thing. Amen? I don't witness good to them on that side of the parking lot. I'm just odd. I don't know. If they're on this side of the parking lot and I pull right out, if I get gas there, man, I'm okay. Man, if I have to drive to that side, it's like, man, that's like an eternity away. And I know it's just strange, but until you do it your way. And so sometimes I'll pull up there and I'll think, why did I get gas here? because I know what the Lord's going to say here just in a few minutes. And I really am busy doing something. So I made a rule. And this is just the way I do it. You do it any way you want. I never go up to a truck unless the guy's sitting in his seat. And I'm just not going to do that. All right? So if he's sitting in the seat or out by the truck, I'll stop. But if he's not in the seat, I don't stop. That's a business part of his life, and I'm not going to intrude if he's resting or whatever he's doing. I don't care. You say, you ought to knock on the door. Well, you go knock on the door. Hot stuff, amen. Tell you what. So then I scope him out and think, man, I hope ain't nobody sitting in the seat. You know what the Holy Spirit says? Now I want you to, now you know what to do. Most of the time I don't even have, Holy Spirit don't even have to convict me. I already know what I'm supposed to be doing. So then I pretend I don't maybe see him. Can't see out of this eye. You know, got that surgery. I can't see out of that eye. Nothing to do with my jaw. Now, I know everybody in this room's thinking, preacher, surely you wouldn't do that. Well, I'm just doing everything you would do. It's just in a different way. We pretend that God isn't speaking whenever he is saying, hey, witness. Hey, do this. And we act, well, you know, I don't know if that's the flesh or the devil. Well, has the devil ever told you to witness for Jesus? Somebody testify to that, amen. Glory to God. Has the devil ever wanted you to give your money away to some poor bum along the way? No. That's always the Lord. Well, I just don't know if it's the Lord or the devil or me. Well, stingy as you are, I doubt it was you either. Amen? You see what I'm saying? I mean, we rationalize all this stuff, don't we? Come on now. We rationalize this. Whenever it's the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit says, I want you to do this. We say, well, I don't want to do it. I don't think it's up for negotiation. The Holy Spirit never says, hey, what do you think about such and such? No, the Holy Spirit says, do it. And if you don't do it, you don't obey. So I obeyed the truth, but I had sanctification by the Spirit. So the Spirit is constantly working to make me more like Christ. And the only way I can be more like Christ is to obey the Spirit. And the more the Spirit works in my heart, the more I'm like Him. See, to conform me to Christ. And so I struggle with the work of the Spirit. I shouldn't, because it's so good when I do it. Man, I tell you, I love to witness them truckers. I love to talk to them where they're from. I visited a guy from Cuba the other day, and he'd been here for 27 years, finally got all of his family over here, and said, well, he ought not to be over here. Well, I'm glad he is, because I wouldn't have went to Cuba to visit him. And he speaks English decently. I said, you ever been born again? Oh, Jesus. Hey, I said, I got Spanish. He goes, I read English. I said, okay. I don't know if he's saved or not. I went over at one of them truckers, this old boy sitting there. He's kind of sour looking sitting there anyway, so I thought, most of the time I always tell God they ain't going to take him anyway. I'm just wasting my time. But I only have 3 or 4 that said no. So I went up there, and he's sitting there. And he's trying to ignore me, and I'm thinking, dude, come on, I'm standing right here. You know, I haven't lost that much weight, amen. He rolled down the window. I said, hey. I said, I pass these out along the way to guys. Think you might take one. The guy's window down about that much. He said, turn it over. So I turned it over. He goes, nope. I said, well, praise the Lord. Thanks. Have a great day. I think about that kid every once in a while. And this week, and I think he's a little redheaded kid. Well, I don't know how little he is. He was little in the truck. And so I guess he was. But I really don't know. But you know what? One day when we stand in front of God, if he don't ever get saved, we'll go back to Walmart parking lot one day and he'll say, oh yeah, I remember, but God, I didn't believe that junk. I didn't like that stuff then. That may have been his only hope. You know, I'm not trying to paint myself anything other than this. I'm telling you, I struggle with the work of the Spirit in my life just as much as anybody else does. And you know what? God always wants me to do things I really don't like doing sometimes. Now, if it was all the easy stuff, like receive an offering, do that. Amen? But stuff that usually I'm having struggles with in my Christian life. Well, I want you to love that person. Well, pick somebody else. Amen? Pick a different person. Pick a better person. Let me pick. Amen? No, God wants you. No, I want you to love that person. I want you to be kind to this person. I want you to give to this need. Why? Because God wants us to be like Him. So He sends the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, don't you ever minimize the work of the Holy Spirit in your heart. I'm telling you every day. So every day, now if you're a Christian, now I'm just saying this, put a big if there, capital I, capital F. If you're a Christian, every day you feel promptings of the Holy Spirit to do something that's right, that you really don't like doing at that moment. And the longer you don't do them, the less likely you are to do them. So if the Holy Spirit prompts me to do something, best thing for me to do is just get up and do it. So usually I park my truck headed that direction. Because I know this, usually, not all the time. Because I know as soon as I get back in there, what's going to happen? Holy Spirit's going to say, I bet there's a guy sitting there who needs the gospel. You talk to me about it. You ask about it. I didn't ask you to do it. You volunteer. And I did volunteer to do that. I just never thought about all of it through. Amen? And so I usually park that direction and think, well, here we go. I'm just telling you, ladies and gentlemen, sometimes the Holy Spirit wants to sanctify you. He wants, and then sin. You be prompted towards sin from the devil and the flesh and the world. And the Holy Spirit said, hey, you're not going to talk like that. You're not going to act like that. Now I'm going to tell you something. Now, I can be sanctified in here, but boy, my face has a hard time being sanctified. Sometimes my face says a whole lot worse than what I'm thinking sometimes. Or maybe it does say what I'm thinking. I don't know. I mean, I really pray the Lord to help me in my facial gestures. Because sometimes your face just says, are you that stupid or what? You know? Or your face says, I'm doing this, but I really don't want to. I can tell that in your face sometimes too. And your face sometimes, we do it, but we're not happy we're doing it. I mean, God wants to change us to be like Him. From the inside out and outside in, to be like Him. Dealing with sin. Sin. Don't you do that. You know better than talk like that as a Christian. As my child, you know better than to say those words. To say them in that manner. You know better than to be spiteful in your words, hateful in your words. Amen? Now, if you're a child of God, now come on, folks. Now, I'm not trying to meddle in your life. I'm just trying to help us tonight because He deals with that with me. Because I can be pretty hateful about some things. And so the Holy Spirit has to control our tongue. He has to help us to sanctify ourselves. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And so the Holy Spirit's never going to let death come out of our tongue. It's always life. You get to speak a kind word to one of your enemies. Boy. And then unto something. So how do you purify your heart? You purify it by obeying the truth, by the work of the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit does it unto something. This purification is unto love, unfringed love of the brethren without hypocrisy is what that means. Unfringed means without hypocrisy and genuine characteristic of God. That you love somebody genuinely. Now I don't know about you, but I have faked love in some people. Now I've never been a fake like Joab and thrust them through the fifth rib yet. But in my mind, I probably have. Amen? Somebody that's scalded your hide before, and then you meet them and you want to say hey to them. I don't. Well, I know all you sanctified people, you've got this down, but some of us that still got the flesh, we're dealing with this stuff. I mean, can you genuinely say here tonight that you have loved people the way Christ has loved people? And if not, then you've not been sanctified near as much as you think you have. You got to love people the way God loves them, with genuine love. Jesus' love was never with hypocrisy. He loved people just for who they were. It didn't matter if they had or they didn't have. Sadly, ladies and gentlemen, we don't see it a lot, but Jesus loved them Pharisees. He loved them priests, them scribes, those people that were voting against him. How do we know? Because later in the book of Acts, a big number of them got born again. I'm glad he didn't say, hey, I remember down there what you did to me, pal. I remember how you acted. I remember all them sarcastic remarks you made. I remember all that hateful speech. No, I ain't going to save you. No, he didn't do that, did he? He just loved them. Boy, I tell you what, I put in the bulletin some things I want to do before I die. You know, I'm 55, got 15 years. Man, I really moved Audrey Straubman. She thinks she only got 7 years now. She went and bought 4 plots. Not to be buried in all 4 of them from time to time, but just a good gravy, amen. But you know, ladies and gentlemen, one of these days, I'm going to face the Lord. I thought, man, I better get to doing something if I'm ever going to do anything for the Lord. One of the things I want people to know I love them. I was listening to an old preacher, Vance Havner, talk about an old preacher way many, 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 many years ago, long before most of us were born. And this preacher just had such a grip on people's hearts. And so he was asked, one of the members was asked, how does this guy have you people? He said, well, nobody loves us like him. He said, nobody loves us like him. Boy, that's something, isn't it? I surely don't want to stand in front of God never having loved people. I told you I'm a suspicious person anyway, but and I want to love people. I want to give them benefit of the doubt. I have a hard time doing that, but I want to. I want to love people because Christ loved them. Amen. I figure when the older I get, ladies and gentlemen, I figure I've got enough to answer for without having to worry about if everybody else is doing it or not. I will stand in front of God one day, and I doubt on that day, along with some of my other preacher brethren, that we're going to be as nearly as insightful as we thought we were preaching what we thought was on people's minds and hearts. Amen. I have hard enough time knowing my own heart, much less anybody else's. So I need to love people. And so we have a past action. We got obedience to the truth by the holy work of the Holy Spirit sanctified unto a genuine love. This is what God wants you to do. Now that you have been saved, see that you love one another. Now you have an ongoing work. Say, well, I don't know what God wants me to do. Well, I do. Are you saved? Yes. Start loving people. And then in verse number 22, he says, see that you love one another with a pure heart, fervently, intensely. That word, with energies of your body strained to the utmost. Go the furthest limit to demonstrate. Houston prayed a minute ago. I don't know if you listened to his prayer. How many listened to his prayer? Great. Somebody recite it to me. Here's what he said. He said, Lord, help us to go out this week and witness to somebody. Now you have to witness because you prayed that. I didn't hear any amens from that crowd, so I'm sure they're going to. But that's what he prayed. Lord, help us go out and witness to somebody. You know what we're to do from the moment we leave here? Start demonstrating this love for other people. Fervently. Go out of our way. Extend our strength as far as we can. Our hand of compassion, our hand of help to somebody that is in need. Brother House told me a story. I hope he don't listen to this, but he told me a story one time. He was there at McDonald's, and the Lord, there was a not as well-to-do guy come into McDonald's, put it that way. So whatever he was, and he walked up to Brother House, and he asked Brother House. He said, "Hey, I don't have any money. Could you buy me coffee?" Brother House said, "No. Buy you coffee." And so after a little bit, you know, saying no a couple times, the guy went to somebody else. So Wanda came up. She said, "What he want?" He goes, "No, don't worry about it." She goes, "What he want?" And he said, "Wanda," he said, it's no big deal. Don't. She said, "What he want?" And so, you know, she's trying to take the place of the Holy Spirit like wives usually do. And let's all say amen. And So he finally confessed, you know, and so then Brother House got to under conviction about not being, I mean, what's a cup of coffee at McDonald's, 50 cents, $1, $2, I don't know what it is. Don't drink this stuff, amen. And so he began to practice some things. But you know, not all of us are born givers. Few are, but not all of us are. And to demonstrate love to somebody is a very unusual character quality of God's people today, because we do very little of it. I got that wallet tied up in my hip. I think I even got a button to keep mine in there. Some are so spiritual they don't even carry their wallet for fear that God may want them to do something. Amen. So they'll leave it in the truck or in the car or at home, and you know, locked up in the safe to where even God don't know where it's at. Or when they're going, they just keep their mind here, and I don't want to look, and I don't, because I'm afraid if I ever look at somebody, God will say, hey, why don't you help them? This world is starved for Christian love. They are. They're starved for somebody just to love them with nothing in return. Well, my favorite things that we've picked up in the last couple of years is to go up to the college and to feed the kids and just to be a part of their lives for a very short period of time, try to win them to the Lord. But you know what? I've learned something. We just love them, and they don't have a nickel's worth of nothing to return to give us. You ain't going to get nothing out of them. Not now, anyway. They're barely able to eat lunch. But you know, down the road somewhere, they may look back and say, I remember when the church did something for me. Our Sunday school class, my Sunday school class is buying the little, I don't know, boxes or bottles of dish detergent, not dish detergent, but clothes detergent, something for them. And you know what? That probably to them would be just as important in their life, and because they have to do their laundry and this, that, and the other. And you know, ladies and gentlemen, demonstrating love on a continual basis is a struggle for all of us. But you got to do it. You got to look for opportunities to be a blessing and a help. And so whenever we went up to the college the last time, fed the kids, the girls, we went fed the girls last time, you know what? They sit down there and eat. They didn't give an offering. They said thanks. They were polite. But they didn't have nothing to give. In fact, the Lord says whenever you get ready to do something, you do it for somebody that can't pay you back. Then you get the reward. Amen? I was going to have you all over for lunch tonight, and then I read that and thought, I can't do that. But you could pay me back, amen? But we do. We live in a society that is short on, and we've preached on it quite a bit this year already. And, you know, we ought to look for ways. So I have a box, one of these boxes up here, and you know, it'd be good maybe if we would just maybe help somebody in need. Now, I'm not a big Valentine's Day supporter. All right, I think it's a fake holiday, like most of them, that if you can only buy whoever you love something on one day out of the week or out of the year at extremely high prices anyway. I told my Sunday school class, I went there Thursday morning or whatever morning, Saturday morning, half off everything. I cleaned up. Telling you. Bought my mom some flowers that were $10, got them for $4.50. And I told her about it, amen. Mom, I loved you so much, I saved half price. You know, sometimes at Christmas or Thanksgiving, we'll take a care box. I wonder if people get hungry any other time through the year. I'm just asking. Well, you know, at Christmas, we better, you know, do something else for somebody, you know. I mean, it's ring the bell time. I wonder if anybody needs help some other time through the year. See, whenever we're made to give, listen, God doesn't love that. Here's what he loves. Man, here's a great opportunity to love somebody, and it ain't even Valentine's Day. Now, I guarantee you come March 12th, if you buy your, or 14th, if you buy your wife flowers, she's going to say, what'd you do? What's going on? Have you ever seen something just out of character? Say, well, I'm just trying to be a better husband, better wife, or better whatever. I wonder maybe today, if the world saw us love on a continual basis, they'd see something that'd be worth coming to. Seeing, you have purified your hearts. Past action. See that you love one another fervently. Don't do it half-heartedly. Get with it. Well, you know, Brother Tim, I'd really love people, but how do I know it's genuine? How do I know they're going to do what they said they was going to do? That's not for you to determine. You're just to love them. Well, what if they don't do what I want them to do? Well, you're not wanting them to do anything. Well, what if I give them money and they blow it on booze? Like everybody does that. Come on. To all of us. That's why I don't do stuff, because I'm afraid some bum's going to buy booze. That's what we've always been told, amen. Have you ever watched the movies? All the bums go buy them a brown bag full of something. If Hollywood says it, it's got to be true. Well, maybe somebody does need a hamburger or something. I'm just telling you, seeing you have, if you are saved, are you demonstrating love? And if not, now I didn't say this. If not, then you don't have a purified heart. I didn't say it. I just read plenty of verses to support it. Say, well, preacher, I know I'm saved. I don't care what you say. I didn't say you wasn't saved. I just said if you're not demonstrating love, you don't have a purified heart. How many in the past 2 months have given Ron and Sue Koontz any money? Yeah. Everybody knows they've been going down to the hospital week after week. I talked to Brother Jack, and Brother Jack, I apologize. I told you I was going, and I just went in this ear and right out. I told Brother Jack a couple weeks ago, last week I guess it was, out 1 week, they went every day, had to go every day. You say, well, how do you know they need money? Well, I've traveled before every day, and I think probably they might need something. I wonder preacher, we just didn't know that. Oh, I put it in the bulletin every week. What about Dave Bloss? I wonder if anybody sent him a card or something along those lines to encourage him along. I wonder maybe about some of these that, you know, listen, if I'm having surgery of the magnitude that Brenda's going to have, I hope somebody's aware of it and does more and says, I'm thinking about you. Oh, maybe somebody gets down on their knees and prays. There was a lady in our church several years ago, just throughout the years that I've been here. And she used to always complain about never getting any cards. And I got so sick of hearing that junk. And finally one day I looked at her, probably not in the right spirit. I said, sister, have you ever sent a card in your life to anybody? She said, no. I said, well, that's why you don't get any. You reap what you sow. And if you don't sow any cards, you don't reap any cards. Well, it's a Bible principle. I just wonder about people that we know. I wonder if somebody out here that's not been in church in a while knows you love them. I wonder if somebody out here in the world that's lost knows you care. Tell you about my friend Dennis. Boy, I tell you, old Dennis, man, whenever you got me as your only friend, you're in bad shape. Amen. That's what he told me one day. I visited him, talked to him. I talked to him about things, not always about church. I put a plug in there for the Lord. One day he told me, he says, you know what? I think you're my only friend. I thought, well, don't moan. I thought that was a compliment. I heard some people go, oh, come on. Good gravy. But I did. I thought, oh, man, you're at the bottom of the barrel. Amen. I have to get some people over here to befriend you. Good gravy. But you know, there's tons of people out there like that. They really, I'm serious. There are a lot of people out there like that. Don't have anybody just sit and talk. Let me ask you this. What about Boyd Jordan? I know Boyd has a daughter and son-in-law. But you know, outside of going to see Maxine going home, he's home most time. Well, if anybody sits there, Brother Boyd comes over to the Mission Center a couple times a week. The weather's bad, if not once a week. I enjoy sitting around talking to Brother Boyd. I get a lot of wisdom out of him. If I ever want to know if the church should do something, I ask him. And if we do, I always blame it. I always tell him, say, well, we're going to do it on your word. So if it fails, it's all yours, buddy. I'm just telling you, they're just people that's probably needing somebody to maybe demonstrate, hey, how are you doing? And I'm bad at it. I'm telling you, I'm horrible at it. But I read this verse, and I know I'm saved. And I know in the past at different times, you boys sitting here and you girls that are sitting out here going to school tomorrow, there'll be somebody that need a friend tomorrow that probably don't have all the good friends you got. You could be a friend to them tomorrow. And you know who they are. They're the oddballs that everybody kind of snickers about. They don't have the best of clothes, and their parents probably aren't on the school board or the PTA, or if they have it anymore, any of that kind of stuff. They just need somebody who'll just say hey to them. Why don't you sit there and eat lunch with us? Why don't you go with us? You know what? That'd make all the difference in the world. Especially if you've ever been the outcast. Yeah. Sure will. Somebody needs to make a difference. And of compassion, making a difference. Somebody tomorrow is going to have a rough day. And God's going to bring you into their life. Amen? And tomorrow you need to take that chance to make a difference. Father, we thank you for the day. I sure am sorry, Lord, so many times I fail obeying the Spirit and what you want me to do. Lord, trying to be busy and trying to be in a hurry. Lord, I'm sorry for so many times that I failed to demonstrate Christianity to those that are about us. Lord, those are the times when my heart has been defiled by sin and self and the devil in the world. But Lord, those times that I've been close to you, Lord, my heart's been clean and right. Lord, I can surely remember those times. And these times, Lord, whenever it was a delight to extend a hand, a word, give a dollar or two or whatever the case may be, to be an encouragement to somebody. So Lord, help us to stay in that sphere of life, that spiritual state, rather than that one that really doesn't have a lot to do with other people. We kind of get selfish and self-centered. We claim to be saved, but God, we never demonstrate that we're saved to other people. And Lord, I'm glad one day that you commended your love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, that you loved us. And you sent Christ to die for us. You demonstrated your love for us by sending him. You just didn't tell us you loved us. You showed us. And Lord, tonight, talk is real cheap. In fact, you said, let us not love in word, but also in deed and in truth. So Father, help us tonight to love others, to demonstrate that, to be a friend to the friendless, to be a help to those in need, and that they might see Christ in us. In Jesus we pray. Miss Sherry's playing the hymn of invitation tonight. A lot of people out there that need somebody. Let's stand up. A lot of people out there need somebody. And tomorrow.